This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney with Howard Wilkinson, and we continue on our baseball theme this afternoon. The 2015 All-Star Game is going to be played at Great American Ballpark. The last time Cincinnati hosted the game was in 1988 at Riverfront Stadium. Preparations are well underway, and there's so much more to the All-Star Game than just what goes on down on the field. Cincinnati Reds Community Fund Executive Director Charlie Frank and Reds Public Relations Manager Michael Anderson are here to give us a preview of what's in store for fans and for the city. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks very much, Charlie and Michael, for being here this afternoon.
Our pleasure.
The countdown started. I think I have it figured out almost exactly. I might not be quite correct. Roughly 339 days away from the start of All-Star Week. Am I thinking right?
No, I think you're right on. And you know, people are thinking, well, the clock's ticking now. In truth, the clock's been ticking for a number of years. Michael was one of several that were actually in New York the year before last. Phil Castellini and a lot of our promotional and marketing staff, they're virtually at every All-Star weekend, and they've been planning for this. I mean, it's been 27 years, and with all the great things that the Castellinis have done in this community with the hosting of the Civil Rights Game in 2009 and 2010, I think everyone knew that this day was coming. So there's going to be a lot of work to do in the next year, but I think everybody has felt that the clock's been ticking for some time.
I think those 2 years that the Reds hosted the Civil Rights Game, that gave Major League Baseball, I think, a pretty good picture that Cincinnati could handle large events like this.
I think so. And Howard, to that point, you know, the entire city embraced it. The way that the entire city and region embraced the choir games. And we just witnessed that in Minneapolis, St. Paul. A mid-sized market is going to have that game, that event that flows through literally every layer. And compared to a New York or a San Francisco or a bigger market where it's just another thing, I think Major League Baseball did come through and see that the Reds did an unbelievable job making the Civil Rights Game, taking it from what had been a minor league event that happened preseason to something that was clearly Major League in season. And they've had a tough time matching what they were able to accomplish in Cincinnati since then.
Mm-hmm. Michael, this is going to be really exciting. I mean, this is going to be almost like having two opening days in one season.
Yeah, you know, we just got back from Minneapolis about 3 weeks ago and got to see what that city did and how that city embraced, you know, MLB coming. And, you know, from sort of the media side and from the behind-the-scenes side, you have over 2,000 reporters and journalists who sort of embark on the city. I know Phil Castellini said yesterday that we're looking about 20 TV trucks being parked around Great American Ballpark, you know, and it's really an All-Star week. I think that's what a lot of people, we're trying to let people know that it's a six to seven day operation. If the All-Star game is on Tuesday and the Home Run Derby is on Monday, the Futures game and Celebrity Softball game is on Sunday, there'll be a concert and a 5K probably Saturday. The Fan Fest, a five-day, like Reds Fest, but MLB Fan Fest, will be at the Convention Center for five straight days. And if you won't have tickets or don't have the access to tickets inside for the games at the ballpark, there'll be community festivals, there'll be block parties, there's a red carpet parade that'll go through downtown Cincinnati. There'll be so much for Reds fans to do in the city if you can't get to the ballpark.
About how many people is that going to attract? Any ideas?
Well, you'll have, you know, 160,000, give or take, at the ballpark itself. And then, you know, Fan Fest may have 15 to 20,000 people. You know, at Target Field, they had 120,000 people at Fan Fest alone over the 5 days. So it's just these huge numbers. But for us, you know, it is. It's like three straight sellouts, and I think we can handle that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was at the All-Star game here in 1988. Now, and that was a big pageant, but now, you know, this many years later, the All-Star game has become a huge, huge event.
Right. Yeah, it's a generation later. And, right. You know, again, 27 years, that's a long time, especially yes. Given the fact that Great American Ballpark's been open for more than a decade. So certainly this region's time has come. But yeah, I mean, I think the home run derby had rain issues, and then the game featured rookie Chris Sabo, and I think it was a low scoring affair, 2-1 game. But it's virtually an entirely different experience now. As Michael mentioned, it's not only just a week long worth of big events and complimentary events and fan access, but there's also the huge element of the community investment that comes through it. And I think that in a lot of ways, what Major League Baseball refers to as its legacy giving is what separates it from a Super Bowl or from a NBA All-Star experience. I mean, this past year, the Twins and Major League Baseball contributed over $8 million to local and national nonprofits. And it was a dizzying experience to see how they covered their region so thoroughly and so thoughtfully and strategically. And to see the Twins take what had been a very nice tradition of investing about $1 to $2 million into the community and really making it their own and raising the bar. And when they announced, when Bud Selig was in town in January of 2013 to announce the All-Star Game officially coming, if you recall, they buried the lead underneath the fact that Major League Baseball was investing $1.5 million in our new Urban Youth Academy, which is opening here just in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And Bob Castellini's comment that day was, we're so thrilled and honored to have the All-Star Game, but it's the community leave behind that will be the legacy. So, and Michael and I had a chance to just see that again firsthand, and I can...
What kind of things did you see in Minneapolis that they were doing in order to be able to raise that kind of money for...
Well,
legacy.
Some of the dollars flow through Major League Baseball, quite a bit of them actually. So it's just part of the formula from the week, not necessarily the bigger gate attractions, but some of the secondary attractions. So the league has made that commitment. The team also is asked to get involved and leverage its sponsors and do a lot of the things that our team is already undertaking. But then the end result was renovated Boys and Girls Clubs, renovated baseball parks, partnerships with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation that helped build a couple of brand new ball fields. It was a lot of infrastructural capital investment. It was anything from activities at one of the children's hospitals in St. Paul to a nature preserve also in St. Paul. So, I mean, there was a Miracle League field up in Hibbing, Minnesota that was part of this whole activity. So, again, both in terms of content and geography, it really covered the upper Midwest region.
So, Charlie, the Reds were preparing for this event long before they even knew they had landed the All-Star Game. I think what I read was the Reds have been scouting and benchmarking other All-Star games since about 2006. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's when the Castellini-Williams ownership team came on board in January of 2006. And, Phil and his team, Phil Castellini, went and studied the All-Star game that year. And I'd say the immediate impact on our business, on the Reds business, was that Phil then decided to completely rebuild Reds Fest. So you may recall that Reds Fest had been on a several-year hiatus when the convention center was being modified and renovated. And when Phil brought it back, which was in December of 06, that Reds Fest model was a mirror of what FanFest is. And, we talk about it amongst our staff. The Castellinis have kept prices very modest for the two-day event. And you have Reds players and former players and prospects and broadcasters walking every inch of our convention center. So our fans are already very accustomed to a high-end event. And I think what they'll see with the Fan Fest will just explain that, hey, this is something that right away the Castellini saw, and they took a lot of these major league ideas and brought them down into Cincinnati. And they've been doing that really ever since 06.
Are there plans to have volunteers downtown acting as hosts and as greeters during the event for folks who come in from out of town?
Yeah, I would say that was probably one of the first things that the Castellinis had reached out to make sure that there is a strong volunteer corps in place. And they've actually reached out to some of the volunteer coordinators that not only helped with the All-Star Game back in 88, but also have worked just recently with the World Choir Games. All the details will be released at some point here, there'll be a call for volunteers. But each All-Star city is asked to bring about 2,000 to 3,000 volunteers on board. And that's everything from working the events inside the ballpark, outside the ballpark, to being greeters on the street, to be ambassadors. When we were in Minneapolis, there was a green line that went that was on the sidewalk that connected the convention center through the hotel district and straight to Target Field. And it was about a mile. And along that green line were ambassadors with green shirts that were answering questions, pointing people in the right direction. And you know, in Minneapolis, there were about 60 people from Cincinnati benchmarking what was going on. About 30 from the Reds organization and about 30 locally from the city, from the county, from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, police, fire, et cetera, all working with their counterparts in Minneapolis, trying to figure out how they're doing it so we can bring back those best practices and figure out what we're supposed to do next year.
And this is a wonderful opportunity for the community to showcase itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we see what we did with the World Choir Games and putting Cincinnati sort of on the global map when the eyes were trained in the choir community. You know, now we're looking at next year, you know, with the game being broadcast in 70 countries and all these different languages and all this 2,000 to 3,000 media coming in, it's a great opportunity for us to show how great this Cincinnati is.
That kind of planning, I mean, it almost sounds like the scale of a presidential nominating convention to me, which I've been to many of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were just on the short list for one here.
Right.
You know, and when the process goes to attract MLB and when you go to apply for an All-Star game, you apply on a rolling basis of 3 or 4 years. And each of those years, you have to have X amount of hotel space available, hotel rooms available, X amount of convention center space. All these things have to line up for MLB to consider you. And, you know, it was made very clear that Mr. Castellini had talked with Commissioner Selig and expressed, you know, that Cincinnati's desire to host the All-Star Game. And I think we proved to MLB that we can host a large event with the Civil Rights Games in 2009 and 2010.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have complained over the years that we hadn't gotten a All-Star Game since 1988. But there are a lot more teams in Major League Baseball now, and a lot more. So it takes longer for it to become your turn, right?
Yeah, that's true. And if you think about it, you know, the number of new ballparks or completely renovated ballparks in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s is absolutely unprecedented. So the line was quite long. In fact, you know, I know Baltimore is talked about as one of the next ones. And, you know, Camden Yards, I believe, got one early. But, you know, it's been 20 years for them. So, you know, there aren't many major league stadiums in the 30 MLB cities that haven't had some sort of major renovation. So I think the combination of not only having a new park, but, you know, equally important in this scenario is the relationship that Bob and Phil Castellini have built within MLB. They're leaders, you know, their voices are influential, their creativity is recognized, and, you know, Bob has developed a terrific working relationship with the commissioner, and Phil's done the same with a lot of the, you know, the people making the business decisions on a day-to-day basis. So all of those things certainly combined, but, you know, compared to years past, you know, when the Reds were hosting All-Star games, you know, 1970 and 88 and before, yeah, I think the wait list, the queue is a lot longer.
Yeah, yeah. From your perspective, as the head of the Reds Community Fund, this has got to be an unbelievably marvelous opportunity for you and the community fund. What kind of plans do you have for that week at this point?
You know, it's both an opportunity for us to show off some of the things that have been going on here with the community fund and on behalf of the Reds over the last decade. And as you mentioned, Howard, it's almost a mind-blowing opportunity, especially having just seen it firsthand. You know, we're trying to work as quickly as we can to make sure that we have everything organized and that, you know, we're not forgetting anything. We're meeting with city officials. We're meeting with folks on both sides of the river. We're talking in recreation and beyond. Having seen some of these really interesting and well-thought-out non-baseball investments that were made in the Twin Cities, clearly for us, it's an opportunity to showcase the Urban Youth Academy, which is going to be opening in late August. And initially, this was not going to open until the summer of 15. And this $7.5 million, really best-of-its-class complex was going to be a part of the All-Star Game in 15. But then we had this nice little problem of getting a year ahead of schedule because our construction partner was willing to contribute significantly if they were to eliminate a second phase. But we're still going to program a lot. So for us, it's very, very important. And there will be. I mean, we'll be hosting the Junior RBI Classic and a lot of other activities that will be a part of the All-Star experience. We'll be at our Urban Academy. And because it's virtually brand new, it's going to be a great opportunity for us to do that. Another really important element for us, and we have a lot of work to do, so this is not a lock by any means, but you know, yesterday we celebrated the fifth year of our community makeover with Procter & Gamble and the Cincinnati Zoo, and over 400 volunteers helped to completely rebuild the Wayne Ball Fields on Beekman Street and the Millvale Recreation Center in the Millvale, South Cumminsville neighborhoods. And this is something that I'm not sure is done in any other city, where the team collaborates with iconic corporate partners and the city to make all of these transformational changes to a neighborhood. So I'm very hopeful, even though, again, we have a lot to work out, that, you know, maybe one or more of those community makeovers could be a part of this, because I think that really right now is one of the most unique aspects to the community fund these days that speaks to both baseball development and community.
One of the things that you did not have at Great American Ballpark when it first opened was all the development at the banks and the Smale Riverfront Park. I would assume that all of that's going to be incorporated into this experience next summer.
Yeah, you know, if Major League Baseball would have granted Cincinnati the All-Star Game, say back in, you know, 2010 or 2011,
yeah.
the banks project was just kind of getting underway at that point. But now, coming next year with the whole Riverfront Park coming, the carousel coming in, coming online next spring, the development west of the suspension bridge,
right,
hopefully will be done by then. And that whole area, that's going to be sort of the hub. And that'll another opportunity for people that maybe don't have tickets for the game to come down and experience any of these All-Star Game parties. In Minneapolis, there was this Pepsi Street party that was a couple blocks long just east of Target Field. And all the restaurants and bars and shops and you know, the couple new hotels that are going to come online. The Renaissance just came online a couple weeks ago. There's a couple more coming online next week. All that will add to the All-Star experience.
Michael, you mentioned a word that is golden to my ears, tickets.
Tickets.
What is the process going to be like for getting tickets to this?
Well, MLB controls all the tickets. Essentially, it is an MLB game that the ballpark is hosting, and the Reds are sort of a part of that process. Phil Castellini has gone on the record many times, including after yesterday's press conference, and saying that, you know, if you're interested in All-Star Game tickets, as is if you're interested in opening day tickets any year, the best chance is to be a season ticket holder. That's either a full season ticket holder or a half season ticket holder. There will be some limited opportunities for fans that are, say, a 20-game season ticket holder and up, but you're really your best chance. And most cities, MLB requires you to buy tickets to every single event. So you will buy a suite, or what they call a strip of tickets, that includes admission to everything. And we'll be communicating those to our season ticket holders at a later date.
That's sort of like the postseason, where you buy a strip all the way through the World Series.
That, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, the nice thing, though, it's a five-day event, like you were saying. Even if it's not just about the game, even if you can't get to the game, there's just so many more things that you can do. That you don't really have to be a raving baseball fan,
sure,
to have fun at this.
Yeah, we saw in Minneapolis that there was almost 30,000 fans or 30,000 people at a free charity concert at University of Minnesota Football Stadium featuring the rock band Imagine Dragons. They had a color run, a 5K run at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds that had about 27,000 people at this 5K run. So there's all these events and activities for fans if you can't get into the ballpark.
Any idea what kind of economic impact the All-Star Games have in general for cities?
Yeah, the Minneapolis, they estimated about $75 million economic impact. And going back a few years ago, Kansas City was about a 60,000 economic impact, $60 million in 2012. And even going back to, say, St. Louis back in 2009, it was about 60. So those are similar size cities, similar size markets. We're estimating that it's going to be about 70 to 80 for Cincinnati.
One of the things that is relatively new to the whole All-Star experience is the red carpet show. I mean, has that been kind of mapped out yet? And tell us what that is. Tell us what that is.
The Chevrolet Red Carpet Spectacular is what they call it, is on Tuesday. It's in the afternoon of the All-Star Game. Mm-hmm. And all the players and coaches that are a part of both American League and National League rosters leave their team hotel. And in Minneapolis, it was a Hyatt, and there's a red carpet, a physical red carpet that they put down on the city streets. And it runs for about 3/4 of a mile through Minneapolis. And all the players are in the back of these shiny Chevy pickups. And there's fans lining the streets. And you're waving to them. And they have play cards on the car that tells who the player is. And they're waving to the fans as they're going down through the downtown of Minneapolis. And, last year in New York City, it went down 42nd Street. In the middle of Manhattan at between 12 and 1 o'clock, basically shutting down Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah. I read somewhere that in the parade there will be maybe some of the Finley Market parade route, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, Finley Market uses Race Street and then takes Fifth Street over.
Yeah.
You know, all the hotels are on Fifth Street.
Yeah.
So, one would assume that potentially it would be used. You also have to pay attention to kind of what's going on in the downtown streets this time next year. You know, there's a lot of, if you're driving through downtown or over the Rhine right now, every week there's streetcar updates and they're kind of moving things around. And right now they're laying all the electrical. And, by this time next year, I'm not really sure exactly what the route will be, but MLB will come to town. MLB will be here about once a month for the next year. They were in town for 4 days this past week, checking out the convention center, checking out entertainment areas, checking out, areas that they can host events. And they'll evaluate all of Cincinnati, and then they'll make the recommendations on where they want to have everything.
So Cincinnati's going to have a party-like feel for those days when the All-Star Game is here.
Yeah, and we're having a good time trying to figure out, as we had the chance to experience each element of the Minnesota experience, where each activity, where could it work, and none of that, as Michael said, has been locked in yet, and I'm sure it will be relatively soon. But we got to figure that from Washington Park to Fountain Square to Paul Brown Stadium, Race Street, Finley Market, that there's a very natural footprint here that's going to include a lot of these events. Still plenty of that we haven't quite determined yet what might be the best approach, although I'm sure the Castellinis have a pretty good idea of where it's going. I know one of the things that we're really excited about here in Cincinnati is that it's probably a slightly more walkable city than Minnesota. Minneapolis from one end to the other was a pretty good hike, and people were using the light rail to get from one stop to another over there. And the night of the free concert, for example, when everybody was leaving downtown and heading over to the University of Minnesota campus, light rail was packed. So, in this market, I think everything is potentially going to be a more intimate walk, and I think downtown's going to lay out beautifully for it.
Charlie and Michael, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure.
Thanks.
Cincinnati Reds Community Fund Executive Director Charlie Frank and Reds Public Relations Manager Michael Anderson.